worship you, Almighty God. Holy and you're worthy. Worthy of all praise. You are worthy of all praise, Father. Worship you, Jesus. Holy, precious Lamb without blemish. Worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Badness, go. You are worthy, Father. Thank you for your perfect plan of redemption, Lord. A perfect plan of redemption. All of our iniquities was laid on you. My pains, my sorrows, my sickness was all laid on you, Lamb of God. It pleased the Father to bruise you. By your knowledge, you have justified many. Who has believed the report of the Lord? We have believed it. Jesus, the Christ of God. God in the flesh.
Yes.
Mercy, compassion, and a hundredfold love wrapped up in flesh. Perfect prototype, Jesus. Our perfect, perfect, perfect prototype. Precious Lamb of God. Precious Lamb of God. Thank you for the atonement, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you that my name was on your mind when you hung on that cross. The world was on your mind when you hung on that cross willfully. As a lamb led to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shears is dumb, so you open not your mouth. You allowed a guilty sentence to be laid on you in innocence. Why wouldn't we worship you? Jesus. Why wouldn't we endure hardness as good soldiers? Why wouldn't we want to carry our cross, Lamb of God? Why wouldn't we want to give it all to you, my King? Take us to that place, Almighty God. Take us to that place that our soul and our flesh so resists. Take us to that place, Lord. Take us to that place. Teach us, Holy Father, through your word, how to be living martyrs every day. Crucifying the body of sin, O Lord.
Yes, for your glory, God.
No agendas, no selfish ambition. Just you, Jesus. Christ in us. The absolute hope of glory.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, my God. We know, Lord, all that are thirsty, you will give us drink. Oh, Jesus. I can't tell you enough how much I worship you, how much I praise you, Jesus, how much I praise you and love you, Lord. We rejoice so much, Father, because we're born of you. Your very life has quickened our spirit. We've gone from death unto life. We have risen with Christ. We're dead here on this earth to the things of this world, but alive unto you through righteousness, Almighty God. I worship you, Jesus. All it takes is a few, Lord. All it takes is a few to change the world, Father. All it takes is a few. All it takes is a few that would follow you and take up their cross daily. All it takes is a few, Abba, to live a mortified life, to conclude that we are crucified with Christ. Crucified with Christ. I worship you, Father. I glorify you. And I thank you for life in abundance through purity, through the Lamb of God. Take us, Lord, to places that our soul wants to resist. Take us, Lord. Take us. Teach us, Father. Chastise us by your word. Purge us, Father. Rid us of ourselves. Show us our indifference, Lord. Mortify that part of us that just does not care, Lord. Take us, Lord. Take us on this journey as we follow the precious Lamb of God. We refuse to be normal, Lord. Up and down in the things of God. We refuse it, Lord. We refuse to be spiritual roller coasters, Father God. Tossed by the wind, Father, by the waves. Tossed to and fro. A double-minded man receives nothing of you, Lord. Oh, that we would just conclude that our lives are not our own, Almighty God. We've been purchased with the blood of Jesus. I thank you for it, Father. I thank you for it, Father. And Jesus, once again, we tell you how much we love you. We thank you for the day that we believed in our heart and believed with our mouth that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the Almighty God. That very day, Father, you came and you made your abode with us. We have been born again. We worship you for it, Father. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Glory. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Blessed be the Lord. Before we get started, just go around and tell somebody or this capacity crowd how handsome they are today. And give somebody a handshake. God bless you. Hallelujah. We're going to have a time today because I got to shoot from the hip because I didn't get to spend no time in prayer today. That's okay because I was at a funeral. And it went great. It went real good, but we're going to have a good time. I feel so edified. You know, we got to learn that not to go by feeling, but actually that's what the Lord's teaching me. I mean, it's a good thing to hear an awesome worship song, but there wasn't no worship song on Calvary when Jesus died. There was no worship song. We have to learn how to function, how to operate in the spirit outside of emotion. Be ready in season and out of season. We have to. That is a necessity. I thank God Jesus was a hundredfold because that means he didn't operate off emotion, just on absolute truth. Praise God he was hundredfold. Praise God. We're going to have a good time tonight. I received a lot of reports about Sunday morning. Praise God. All glory to God. Thank God for what Pastor Dave taught us about meditation and about praying in the spirit. It has absolutely changed my life. It has just changed my life. I was talking to somebody today about, you know, they had some questions regarding what is taught here. I said, all I can do is tell you this. I'm going to judge it by the personal revival inside of my heart. I grew up a pervert, but I've been faithful to the same woman for over 25 years. That in itself is something. I got me a woman. The closer you get to the Lamb of God, the more it affects your marriage. There's just, I have to text her 4 or 5 times a day to tell her I love her. I just got to text her. What are you doing? They say that I was doing an hour ago when you called me. Well, that's what a marriage is about, man. She's my best friend. We ride around town together, just eating peanuts, hearing Delilah. And, you know, no, she doesn't like Dunkin' Donuts. But just life is good. That's the way it should always be in Christ. I mean, we're born of him. We're born of the Lamb of God. The nature of God abides in us. Oh my God, how there is no struggle. There's hard times. There's emotional times that we go through in God. But the victor lives in us. We've been born again. Jesus said a man must be born again to enter into the kingdom of God. That's pretty cut and dry. There's no gray area there, buddy. Either you're in or you're out. I have been born again. I've gone from death unto life, from unrighteousness to a righteous spirit, through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you can grasp it, if you can grasp that the life of God lives in you, you'll never be the same. You'll never be the same. Never, no matter, unto martyrdom, you'll never be the same. We can have this closure, the closure that Paul offered up in 2 Corinthians and 2 Timothy chapter 4. This is closure. I am now ready to be offered up, and the time of my departure is at hand. This is our closure. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. That, my friends, is closure. That's where the Spirit of God can take me and you if we let him. To a place of self-denial, to a place of absolute surrender. I refuse to be a status quo Christian. I refuse to be a Christian that's up and down like a roller coaster, not with the Spirit of God inside of me, man. I refuse to. I'd rather go home if I'm going to be inconsistent in my walk with Christ. Because Matthew recorded, no one lights a candle and puts it under a bushel, but on a lampstand, it gives light to all that are in the house. He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. He didn't say, hear your good works. He said, that they may see that we walk in the love of the Almighty God. That is what we're after. We've been lit internally by the life of God. That excites me, man. That excites me. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. Just before we get started, you might say, we just got started. No, that was just an introduction. I'm just excited. I'm just excited to be a born-again, sanctified believer. God is so good, man. God is so good. God needs some champions, man. He needs some champions to carry their cross daily. Daily. Not operating, not being sense-ruled. Not being dominated by the body of sin. Not being dominated by the flesh. That's what he's looking for. Come with us on this journey, soldiers. Come with us. The world needs to see some shining lights, my friends. They need to see our candle burning. We got to make a difference. We got to glorify the Father. The world is dying. People are dying left and right in this town without Christ in their heart. Amen. Before I go on any further, there was somebody when I was growing up, I always knew this man. And, you know, he ministered, he talked about Jesus to me, but very seldom. I think he knew I was a drunk back then. I was addicted to crack. I did a lot of crack in my days, a lot of crack. But you know what? I stopped it from one day to another. And I wasn't even born again when I started. So there's a lot of things that we can overcome just by wanting to do it. Addicted to crack and wasn't even born again. My wife said, either it's me or the drugs. I said, can you give me one more week? But I stopped it. Give me one more week, baby. Please, just one more week. No. I said, okay, I'll stop. Didn't even have Jesus in my heart. And I stopped it. So life is, and now I got the Lamb of God living inside of me. Oh, God, the sky's the limit for me. It's the limit for me. But there was a man that used to go up to our gas station, Homer's Immokalee Truck Stop. My dad owned a gas station. And that man's here tonight. It's Mr. Bill. But you know what? Y'all give that man a nice round of applause. He's sitting in the back. He's an elder, a deacon at the First Baptist Church. That man would come up to the gas station and get gas. Didn't have to say nothing about Jesus, but I knew he was different. I knew he was different. And he was very influential, even without knowing. Years later, I finally told him, I said, you know, sir, do you know that what you didn't say was influential on giving my life to Jesus? He said, no, I didn't know. I said, well, I'm telling you now, you were, sir. Mr. Bill Bethay, I thank you, sir, that you let your light shine like a city set on a hill. And I'm forever in debt to you in the spirit. And he's right in the back. Many of you don't know him. I've known him for a long time, and I invited him. I said, I want you to come hear your fruit. That's why I said, I want you to come here. I want you to come here, your fruit, because, sir, you lived it, and my candle's lit. I'm born again because of your walking testimony. So, Mr. Bill, again, I want to thank you. So he's here. He went to his church. I invited him, and he's here just to hear God's word from a man that he led to the Lord without words. That's awesome, isn't it? You can lead somebody to Christ without words. Hallelujah. Let's give him another round of applause. Glory. I'm so excited. Can you give me the Harry Roberts little melody, please? I just feel like hearing it. I woke up this morning, got my Dunkin' Donuts. I'm down to a small now. It's a small with one pump of French vanilla because a whole extra large is just too much for me. Just too much for me. I woke up, spent a couple hours with the Lord just in worship, just praying in the spirit. I cried a lot this morning. Turned down a little bit, Mavis. I cried a little bit this morning. Something happened to me. When was it that we went to Olive Garden, baby? When was it? I don't know where you're. I'm looking to the left. We went to Olive Garden, and I went in there, and me and my wife just went to get soup and salad, but it led to other things anyway. But, yeah. Like in the voice of my friend Kirsten D'Amico, me and my wife went in there and did some damage at Olive Garden. But I walked in there, and my wife said, "Are you all right?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm fine." But I began to weep. I began to weep, and I began to cry. Now, you know I cry a lot when I preach, but I don't cry a lot when I eat. I'm usually happy, extremely happy. So this young lady walked up, and you know I can't see for a season. Trust me, I'm going to get it back. Trust me, I'm going to get it back. I was on 7 or 8 medicines when I got sick. Now I'm down to 1 on occasion. I couldn't walk 5 feet without getting tired. Now I can jog 6 miles. Hey, the Holy Ghost, tell me he can't empower us. You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Acts chapter 1. Glory. And I began to weep, and I didn't know why. And this young lady was serving us. I'm not going to go into that whole story, but something happened. Something happened, and I said, "Young lady, you're going to think I'm crazy. But what's wrong with you?" "Ah, I'm fine. No, nothing's wrong." And she came back and said, "Well, maybe." She sat down for 10 to 15 minutes telling me what was wrong with her. My heart was, there was a burden for her, and I couldn't see her. I didn't know what she looked like, but something happened, like an intercession inside of me that went out, and I began to minister to her God's word there at Olive Garden. She sat down as a waitress, just sat down and just heard the word of God. And it was awesome. And it was just incredible to me. It was just incredible. This is about people. This is about getting the world born again. The world is dying without hope. And you know what? It's the church's fault. It's the church's fault. We got to step it up, man. We have a born-again spirit. We have a Bible. We have the perfect prototype in Jesus Christ. There is no excuse for failure. There's no excuse. And I just began to weep. I said, never in my life have I felt this burden for people. I mean, a true mercy and compassion for people. God, there's a harvest. There's a harvest, Lord. God, there's a harvest. How many of you know that there's a lot of good people that aren't going to enter the kingdom of God? Because they must be born again. Confess with their mouth and believe in their heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. My heart, like never before, is burdened for people. If you're a Christian and you do not like hanging around people, something is wrong with you. Something is terribly wrong with you. I don't care how much you think you pray, you're off several degrees. Several degrees you're off. You're not praying nearly as much as you think you are. This is about people. People. Let me tell you something about Jesus and sinners. And you got to grab this. You got to grasp. Jesus hung around sinners that wanted a difference in their life. He didn't hang around fornicators and adulterers that had no conscience, that had no, what word am I looking for? That weren't looking for the Messiah. He hung around sinners that wanted a change. There's a big difference. I was very happy that sinners were coming and asking me questions about Christ. That made me happy. Jesus sat down with sinners and broke bread with them to lead them into the kingdom. Now, let me tell you something. If a sinner wants to hang around you because you don't live righteous, something's wrong with you. When worldly people want to hang around you consistently, you might want to look into that personal mirror of judgment and say, my God, what am I doing that the world wants to rub shoulders with me? Be real careful. I'm being real critical now regarding 1 Corinthians chapter 7 about even breaking bread with some in the kingdom. 7 tells us if one is idle or covetousness, not to hang with him. We can't break bread with them. Somebody told me the other day, well, I've been ignoring you. I'm sorry for ignoring you. Well, you know what, brother? I'm sort of glad you were ignoring me because I wasn't going to break bread with you. I was not going to break bread with you as a testimony against your lifestyle. And I had grounds according to God's word. I'm not talking spooky spiritual, but there has to be a testimony against the saints when they don't live right. There has to be a testimony. And the person said, well, I apologize because I was hiding. I said, you weren't hiding from me, brother, at all. At all. I love you. I'll shake your hand in the church. But I'm not going to go to a barbecue with you as a testimony against your deeds. Now, am I perfect? No, I'm not perfect. But if you're going to call yourself a brethren and act like a heathen, according to Paul's writings, I got to separate myself from you for a season till you repent. That's biblical. That is biblical. And I do not apologize. I'm telling you. We have to live holy, sanctified in spirit, living according to the godly conscience that's inside of us. My God, more than ever, man. People are dying left and right without a Savior. Luke 7. Don't quote me on the word. Sometimes I might misquote a word or so. The apostles of John asked Jesus, John spoke to his disciples, or the disciples spoke to John and said, they told him about the deeds of Jesus. And John said, go ask him, are ye he that should come, or look we for another? I think it's Luke 7. Look we for another. It's amazing what Jesus did. Now, religion, doctrines of devils have fragmented the gospel to a T. It's been so fragmented. Are thou he that should come, or look we for another? And it's amazing how Jesus answered a question with power. He answered it with power. He said, I tell you what, you want to know if I'm he that should come, or look for another? Watch this. And he healed the sick. The blind received their sight. And he said, you go tell John what you've heard and what you've seen. See, we've been articulating for a long time. Do you know that the attendance in the church overall, Christianity is going down and Islam is going up? They're more committed than the body of Christ. That is sad. That people with no cause can be committed more than those that have a cause. David said, is there not a cause in Israel? Is there not a hope in Israel? Goliath, who do you think you are, you uncircumcised dog? You don't even have a covenant with the Almighty God. And you're coming against the armies of the living God. I'll show you a man that walks with power because of the covenant that he keeps. Is there not a cause, he said. 5'4", maybe, he destroyed Goliath. symbolic of the spirit man and the body of sin, which is the flesh, a shadow and type, type and shadow. Tell John what you've seen and heard. Listen to this, and I just saw it the other day. Luke quotes Jesus. He doesn't give us his narrative of what he saw, but he quotes Jesus. And I never saw this till the other day. He said, you go tell John what you've heard and what you've seen and what you've seen and heard. He said, tell him the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. He didn't put "and to the poor the gospels are preached." One thought. He said, the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear. He didn't even say, and the dead are raised. He said, to the poor the gospel is preached. That, my friends, is one thought. One thought. Not five or six different thoughts. When he taught on the mountain, he taught kingdom principles. When he walked off the mountain, he displayed the power of the kingdom. He fulfilled Isaiah 53. Matthew 8 says, himself took our infirmities and bare our sickness. So we got to back up. See, we've always held Isaiah 53 as the atonement chapter, and it is. But we've always limited that to just spiritual healing, to being born again. But if you look up words in the Hebrew, they're totally different. Matthew in the book of chapter 8, he quotes Isaiah 53. He said, himself took our infirmities and bare our sickness. So I had to back up at the beginning of chapter 8. I said, what was it that he bore? Okay, one with leprosy was healed. Simon Peter's mother-in-law with a severe fever was healed. One of the palsy was healed. Many that were blind received their sight. Yet he quoted Isaiah 53, and the church has limited Isaiah 53 to the chapter of atonement, but only regarding salvation of the spirit. But Jesus referenced physical healing when Matthew quoted Isaiah 53. He said, himself bore our infirmities and our sickness. So we've limited Isaiah 53 to just spiritual healing, being born again. But it also says that he took all our sickness and our disease. But we've allowed religion to nickel and dime us. To nickel and dime us. If I didn't believe I'd ever see again, I just don't need to read my Bible, because the Bible said he fulfilled the words of Isaiah. So when Christ died and the apostles took their ministry, was the word of God unfulfilled? It wasn't unfulfilled. We've let religion nickel and dime us to death. It's nickel and dime us. If I didn't believe I could ever see again, then why would I even read the Bible? I was on 7 or 8 medications when I got sick. I had a stroke. My whole left side of my body went numb. I got out of my bed barely in pain, and I kneeled down. I said, I am a child of God. There's no way I should be going through this. I had so much unforgiveness in my heart. I bowed my head and said, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me of the hate that I have inside of me. Almost 2 or 3 days later, I was off almost every single medication because of the anger and strife that I had inside of me. How dare could I walk in unforgiveness when my interest into the kingdom was based on an unblemished lamb shedding his blood for a guilty person? How dare me violate grace? How dare me? The gospel of Jesus Christ is so perverted now. It is so perverted. Gosh, it's not that it's perverted, but pastors, doctrines of devils have fragmented the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's been so fragmented. I stay off of Facebook because I get so mad, because you know the people that are living in fornication and in homosexuality, yet they have no conviction about posting a scripture about God. There's no conviction. No conviction. so that I won't get into judgment. I just stay off of it. That way I don't get mad at nobody. The gospel of Jesus Christ, it's been fragmented. Fragmented. And it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart completely. There's a hurt in my heart, a burden for people like never before. But there's a sadness in my heart because of false doctrine that's being preached. There's freedom in Christ, man. We've been cheated out of much. Cheated out of much. Because we took preacher's word for it. We held everything they said as gold instead of digging the scriptures ourselves and keeping verses in their setting. There is no italicized words in the Greek. There are no chapters in the Greek. There is no punctuation in the Greek. The interpreters put the chapters in there. There's too much gray now in the kingdom of God. When Paul specifically said in Romans 6, chapter 14, he said, for sin shall have no dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. Listen to what he said. Sin shall have no dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. So that means when I was under law, sin had what? It had dominion over me. He said, sin shall have no dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. Now that grace can be interpreted two words, unmerited love, or it can be interpreted in the Greek, empowerment. Sin shall have no dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but there's an empowerment in you. My God, what would that empowerment be? Wouldn't it be the Spirit of the living God that lives inside of our spirit, man, that took us from death unto life? The Jew, every single Jew in the old covenant was bound to sin because they were spiritually dead. Not having the life of Christ in them. They were subservient to the flesh because they were under law. But Paul said, I didn't say. I've gone through Romans hundreds of times, because I had a problem in my life that I couldn't get rid of. So I would pound Romans 6, 7, and 8 over and over and over again to that problem left. But Paul said, see, now you can hear, well, it's okay, God. God does love you. His love for us is not in question. It's our love for him that's in question. He said, for sin, Paul said, it shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. So under law, the Jew was bound to sin. But under grace, the empowerment that comes by being born again, you're not a servant to it because Christ lives in your spirit. Now, we still have a body of sin that we are to crucify daily, but internally in our spirit, my friend, we are righteous beings in our spirit. You don't think the place where God lives inside of you is righteous? A couple of verses down, he said, but God be thanked. This isn't preached in the body of Christ. He said, but God be thanked. I think it's Romans 6, 17. But God be thanked that you were, that's past tense. You were the servants of sin. You were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart. You were, past tense, you were a servant or a slave to sin. You were a slave to sin when you weren't born again. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of him, but you have obeyed. You have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine, being then made free from sin. Ye became the servants or a slave of righteousness. Is there any gray in there? But God be thanked that ye were, Homer, when you were not born again, you would fornicate and it would not bother you. You know why? Because you did not have the conscience of God inside of you. But God be thanked that ye were, past tense, ye were the servant of sin. But Homer, you have obeyed from the what? From the heart. If I obeyed this doctrine from my heart, then that means in my heart I am free because the Spirit of God indwells me. There is no gray there, but that's not taught anymore. that is not taught. Freedom in Christ is not taught anymore. Find me where 11 of the 12 walked back into sin once they got born again. Find it in the scriptures. Show me where they went back into a life of fornication or adultery or strife. Show me where 11 of the 12 went back into the world. They understood the power of the rebirth. They understood it. They understood what lived inside of them. The power of the Almighty God. I can die holding one woman in my arms the rest of my life. Why? Because God lives inside of me. I have a conscience. The Spirit of the Almighty God lives inside of me. That's not taught anymore. We live in the gray now. We live in the gray. You can't even get the average saint anymore to come to church. But God be thanked, Frankie. God be thanked, Kirsten. God be thanked, Homer, that you were, Homer. You were, the Greek says, servant. You were a slave to it. But you have obeyed from the heart. He said, you have obeyed from the heart. Jesus, you are the Christ. 25 years ago, I got on my knees crying. I said, Jesus, I can't take it anymore. Jesus, you are the Christ of God. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and my Savior. I didn't know anything about the Bible, but I knew that moment when I got born again that all my X-rated tapes had to go into the garbage. I knew why, because there was a conscience in me now. I knew I couldn't watch that filth anymore. I knew it. Why? Because God lived inside of me. Get that in your head. God lives inside of me and you. But God, we think that you were a servant. You were a slave to sin, Homer. But you obeyed from the heart a doctrine. Being then made free from sin, Homer, you became a slave unto righteousness. He didn't say, I believed that doctrine with my flesh. He said, I believed it with my heart. So I believed it in my heart, and that's where the freedom lives, not in the flesh. The flesh is what we crucify. That's what we leave on the cross. Are you with me? This isn't taught anymore. Nobody knows it. Romans chapter 7 was a Jew under Mosaic law. That's why he said, the things that I would, I don't do. The good that I would, I can't do it. He said, the commandment is holy, just, and good. He said, the commandment is holy, just, and good. The commandment, holy, just, and good. What did he call the commandment? What? He called it good. He said, the good that I would, I can't do. Why? Because the good that he wanted to do was not in him. But once we got born again, the word of God, the commandments of God were written in my heart and in my mind. And I knew now that I couldn't fornicate anymore. I knew now that I couldn't do drugs. Why? Because the good, the commandments were written in my heart. Written in my heart. No excuse for failure. No excuse. It wasn't that the Christian was struggling in Romans chapter 7. Chapter 7 was a Jew under Mosaic law, spiritually dead. That's what he said. I'm carnal. I'm a wretched man. He was a wretch because he wanted to do good, but the Spirit of God didn't live inside of him. He was in constant battle with himself. Can you back that up biblically? Oh, yes, I can. Romans 8. This is what's left out. We can't live how we want to. We can't live how we want to. The world is dying. There's therefore. Romans 8 and 1. There's therefore. Therefore, the word therefore is there regarding what he just said in chapter 7. There is therefore now, that word now in the Greek is interpreted immediately. There is therefore immediately no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. It has been taught. How do you know, Homer? You haven't even gone to seminary. No, but I've spent countless hours in this book. You haven't gone to schools of theology? No, but I've spent hours in this book. Hours.
knowing there had to be more than a personal struggle with sin in my walk with Christ. So I dug the scriptures. I dug them, and I deposited them as much as I could. 6, 7, 8 hours a day putting God's word in my heart. Because I did not want to be the norm. Romans 8 and 1. There is therefore immediately, he said, immediately when you gave your life to Jesus Christ. Now that word condemnation has been used like this. Well, it's okay if you do wrong. That's not the context. That's not the context of it. How do you know, Homer? I bet you I've gone through Romans 6, 7, and 8 maybe 1,500, 2,000 times, getting the mind of Christ inside of my being. There is therefore now immediately no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, to those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law, quote it with me, for the law of the Spirit of life has made me free from the law of sin and death. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God, by sending his only Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. We got to establish what that condemnation is. He said, there is therefore immediately no condemnation. We got to keep it in its context. We got to keep it in context. We got to find out what that condemnation is. If we can ever find out what that condemnation is, if you can ever come to the conclusion of your freedom in Christ, trust me, the sky's the limit for you, man. There is therefore, immediately, the Greek says, no condemnation. Well, someone say, well, you know, if you sin, there's no bad feeling. There better be conviction in your life if you sin. If you don't sin, if you don't feel conviction, you're not born again. So we got to establish correctly what that condemnation is. There is therefore immediately no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, to those who walk not after the flesh or Romans 7 or the law. For those who walk not after the law, but after the Spirit, after a born again spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. There is therefore now no condemning sentence that we inherited from the first man, Adam, spiritual death. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, to those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law, it could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and condemned sin in the flesh. What was the condemnation? I just gave you the answer. The condemnation was that I was in bondage to the law of sin and death. I was an old covenant Jew under law. All the law was a schoolmaster to lead me unto Christ. That's all the law was, according to the book of Galatians. The condemnation, the sentence that was levied against me was spiritual death that we inherited from the first man, Adam. That was the condemnation. Then Jesus Christ came. I fell on my knees 25 years ago. Jesus, you are the Christ. I can't take my life anymore. Immediately, the law of the Spirit of life in Jesus made me free from the condemnation that I inherited from the first man, Adam. Now, that law of sin and death didn't go anywhere. It still lives in the flesh. But we've been made free from it through the rebirth. You mean the moment I said, Jesus, you are the Christ, I was set free from the power of darkness? Yes, because we had a spirit of bondage. It says later in Romans 8, the spirit that we received from the first man, Adam. We were in bondage to the body of sin through a dead nature. Then Jesus came, big bad Jesus came on the scene. Jesus, you are the Christ. You died for my sin.
Come into my life. Be my Lord and my Savior, Jesus. Instantaneously, by the blood of Jesus and by the power of the rebirth, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free. Made me free. Made me free in spirit. In spirit. I still wear a body of sin, but I'm free inside, according to Ephesians 4. Holiness and true righteousness springs out of my spirit. That is not Homer. That is Paul writing in Ephesians 4. That was the condemnation, that a death sentence was levied against me, inherited from the first man, Adam. Now I'm not bound to sin anymore because I've been freed internally by the power of Jesus Christ. The law of sin and death still exists in my flesh, but I've been made free from it because I've been born again. Christ in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin and for sin. Christ in the likeness of sinful flesh. Christ in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. Condemned sin in the flesh. 30 years old, Jesus lived. 33 years, he lived sin free. He said, church, I did it in my humanity. If he overcame sin in his humanity, if he worked miracles in his humanity, always deity. He's always been deity, God in the flesh. But the miracles that he worked, he did it in humanity by the power of the Holy Ghost. He, in the likeness of sinful flesh, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We have been so set free internally. But we still war against the flesh because we're going to war against it till the day we die. That's why Jesus said, if anyone would follow me, let him, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself daily and take up his cross. It's a continual war against the body of sin. Continual war. But one that we win because we don't live in the flesh. We live in the Spirit. The gray areas are over. That's why Paul said in Galatians 2, we're trying to get some doctrine straight in the church. I, through the law, am dead to the law. What law made Paul dead to the law? The law of what? I just went over it, Romans 8 and 1. I, through the law, am dead to the law. I, through the law of the Spirit of life, am dead to the law of sin and death, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ. Christ liveth in me. In the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God that loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come through the law, if righteousness come through the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Righteousness didn't come by the law. Righteousness came through knowing Jesus Christ and the Ten Commandments being written in our heart and in our mind. We have the power to keep it because the good that I would, it now lives in me. The old covenant, you didn't have the good in his spirit. We do. The old covenant Jew was always in bondage all the time. That's why they had to have sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice. Then the ultimate sacrifice came to separate me and you, to sanctify us in spirit, church. We don't have to break up families anymore. We don't have to walk in strife anymore. We don't have to be involved in revelings anymore. We have been made righteous in spirit by the Lamb of God. You know why I'm a hard preacher? Because I've overcome so much filth, and if I can do it, so can you. I never thought holding one woman in my arm would be easy. Oh my God, it gets easier and easier because of the power of the rebirth. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Now I can understand. Now I can understand Paul's statement in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Now I can see why he could take it to the end.
He knew what lived inside of him. Now I can see in 2 Peter chapter 1, while Simon Peter says, I'm about to put off this my tabernacle, even as the Lord Jesus Christ has showed me, talking about his martyrdom. And you read 2 Peter chapter 1, and you don't see no fear in his eyes, because he was well equipped by the power of God. He knew what lived inside of him. The power of the rebirth. How else could I have known that day, Mr. Bill? How else could I have known when I bowed my heart on my bed? I bowed my heart. I said, I can't take my life anymore. I hate my wife. We were sleeping in separate rooms. And I bowed my heart all by myself. I said, Jesus, you are the Christ. You are the Son of God. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and my Savior. I didn't know the word then. How did I know that I had to throw away all my pornography? Who told me? How did I know that I couldn't get my daughter, I couldn't put alcohol in my little daughter's bottle and get her drunk? How did I know you couldn't do that anymore had not the conscience of God came in and dwelt my spirit, man? How did I fall in love again with my wife instantaneously when I got born again? I beat on her door. I said, baby, I just gave my life to Jesus. She said, good, now get out. But a week later, she gave her life to Jesus too. The power of the rebirth alone. Now we got 66 books of perfection to transform our thought process. There's no way we can lose. Christ can take us into physical martyrdom. How else could Paul come up with a conclusion? I am now ready. Listen to these words. Listen to this closure in this old warrior. Listen to the closure. I am now ready to be offered up. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. He said, I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, should give unto me, not unto me only, but unto all them that believe or trust in his appearing. Even facing death, he was still writing epistles to the church to strengthen us, knowing what laid ahead as Nero beheaded him in Rome. Simon Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1, crucified upside down at his personal request. You're going to tell me we can't take it to the end? One of my friends in Texas called me today. She said, Homer, I got to tell you this, because she knows that my heart is for the Muslim. She said, there was a 19-year-old girl. She looked like a model. I said, okay, what do I need to worry about a 19-year-old girl that looks like a model for? I have a wife, and she's a model too. That looked like a model, Homer, is a missionary in Iraq. In Iraq. You're going to tell me we can't take this to the end, man? You're going to tell me we can't finish this? You're going to tell me, Kirsten, we can't finish? Frankie, Rex, Marsha, Alex, you're going to tell me we can't finish? We cannot be sense ruled. There's a spiritual DNA that lives inside of our spirit. Being born again means to be born from above. God lives inside of me and you. Paul said, I keep my body always under subjection. Always. Now I can understand more and more his comment in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Now I can understand it. You know, you think, you pray and you fast, but we'll always be faced with living a crucified life. Always. We're stewards of the anointing that lives inside of me and you. Now I can understand clearly why Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I forgot 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Give me a minute. I'll get my thought. Always, always bearing about the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus. Listen to what he said. Always, always, sometimes, always bearing about the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life, the internal life of Christ may be made manifest in our body. For we that live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death works in us, but life in you. Will we be since ruled and given ourselves over to a false narrative, to an ideology that springs forth from the body of sin? Or will we live out of that spirit of holiness and true righteousness that Ephesians 4 talks about? What will we do? Will we go out and live a crucified life, a life of self-denial, and win the world for Jesus? Or will we be sporadic in our righteousness? The good that we want to do now, it's in us. It's in us. That's why the old covenant, you said, the good that I want to do, I can't do it. You're right, because the good that you wanted to do wasn't in your heart. You weren't born again, Jew. I can understand your misery. Read it more than once, and you'll see it clearly. Clearly you'll see it. He said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me? He asked the question, who shall deliver me from this body of death? So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. We're not wretched people anymore. We're born again. Incorruptible seed lives inside of me and you, according to 1 Peter. An incorruptible seed that fadeth not away. Incorruptible seed. The law of God, the Ten Commandments, now are written in our hearts and in our mind. Beloved, John said, beloved, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God. And this was manifested, the love of God. God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we should live through him. He said, this is the love of God in chapter 5, the beginning of chapter 5. And this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. In closing, 75 years, history says, it took this man to write 5 chapters. 75 years to write 5 chapters on love. According to Jewish history, historians, 75 years to write 5 measly chapters. Beloved, let us love one another. Homer, I don't understand the Bible. It's hard, okay? Let me break it down for you. Can you understand this? Beloved, let us love one another. That's not too complicated. He said, this is love, that we keep his commandments. So if love is keeping his commandments, then what is a commandment? Love. And this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments must be love, if keeping them is love. See, this is the thing. I don't have to love God and love people. You don't have to love twice. You love once to love twice. If you love God and you keep his word, you love your brother. You don't have to love twice. You love once to love twice. You keep his word and you love your brother. Well, I just don't get along with people, but I love God. No, you don't. You dummy, no, you don't. Because loving God is keeping his word. And if you love God and keep his word, you love your brethren.
I don't have to love twice, just once. He is good, Carl, but thank you for the love. He is good. I want to take it to the end, man. I want God to wear me out. I want him to wear me out. The world is dying, man. And we can't even get over ourselves in the body of Christ. Can't even get over ourselves. Somebody's so good. Corporately, I know you guys are warriors here. Well known by this man, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. I'm not very smart. I just learned to work a computer maybe 8 years ago. Not very smart. But I don't have to be a disciple. It's got to be willing and meek and allow this to change me. My IQ is not very high. Never smart in school. But I'm starting to understand how our forefathers would lay it all down. Starting to understand Acts 16 when Paul and Silas had many stripes laid on them. And afterwards they prayed and sang praises unto God. Many stripes, yet they sang, they prayed and sang praises unto God. That they were counted worthy for the cause. The word of God has been fragmented. True righteousness is not preached. I'm not talking about we're going to make mistakes. Thank God for his blood. Thank God for his blood. But there's so many things that we do not have to do. Just by the power of the rebirth. How else did I know that I couldn't watch pornography? Nobody taught me, but Christ in me, the commandment written in my heart, said, Homer, you cannot commit adultery. I knew that without reading the Bible because there was a conscience in me the day that I gave my life to Jesus Christ. Amen, Rex. Come with us on this journey. We got a pastor that's second to none. This man 20 years ago came to us from Fort Myers. 30 or 40 employees, a large construction company making six digits a year. Came to him, gave his house away, basically his business away. He was rolling in money. Came here for a measly salary that none of us could live on. And he never begs for money. Gets up at 4:30 in the morning, spends his day with Jesus, fasting and praying, believing God for an external manifestation of the kingdom of God. I can serve under a man of God like that. Come with us on this journey. Let's follow Jesus, the perfect prototype, perfection in human flesh. Perfection in human flesh. Righteousness indwelling his spirit. We have been, ladies and gentlemen, born again. The righteousness of the law has been written in our hearts and in our minds. We're not a Jew
that's on the outside looking in, having to offer up bullocks and sheep and lamb because of our transgression. The ultimate sacrifice came in the form of perfection, and all of our iniquity was laid on him. Either his chastisement made us free in mind or it didn't. Either we walk in peace or we don't. Perfection gave itself for the sinner. Perfection did. An unblemished Lamb of God without spot said, "Father, I know what they're doing. They're even going to deny me, but I volunteer my service, Daddy. I'll go as a sacrificial lamb. Lay their sickness, their pain, and their disease, and their sin. Lay it on me, Father. I'll drink the cup so that they will be justified internally in spirit. Lay it on me, Daddy. I'll take it. Lay it on me. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many." We are the ones that are justified in spirit. We are crucified with Christ. The body of sin does not have dominion over us, but we crucify it daily. Because we have risen with Christ. We are dead here on this earth. When Christ sees us from heaven, he ought to see millions and millions of shining lights all over the world. Not dim lights, but shining lights. We've been made free from the law of sin and death. When we said yes to Jesus, the Spirit of life, the law of the Spirit of life, put that old man in us to death. We are no longer subservient to the body of sin, though the body of sin thinks different. It didn't get the memo. The body of sin did not get the memo that we've been set free. That's why there's always a contradiction from the flesh. But we always win. We always win, if you want to. Uneducated. Graduated my senior year with 16. My best friend got 17. He beat me by one. I never thought I would preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I never thought I would preach it. A youth pastor hurt me so bad one time, it damaged me for life when I was growing up. He basically told me I was no good, and I wasn't. I used to go to church to young ladies. He let me know that too. But I felt real bad. He hurt me in front of everybody. Then I encountered Jesus Christ. I think I found something worth dying for. Because until you find something worth dying for, you are not really living. So, Mr. Bill Bethay, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much that you let your light shine like a city set on a hill. Let's win this town for Jesus. Let's tell the world of his goodness. Have an ear, an open ear. The Holy Ghost to show you. He is the Spirit of truth. He is the Paracletos. He is the one that Jesus called another shall come. That word another is a Greek word, allos. One just like me, he said. Allos. The allos is going to come. What does allos mean, Jesus? One just like me is going to come. Whew. Amen. Glory. And to think, really, that I wasn't going to preach this, really. I was supposed to go into 2 Timothy chapter 4. Chapter 1 about enduring hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Were you edified? Glory to God. Glory to God. Pray for me as much as you can, because I know what he's asking of me. I know where he wants me to go. That I would go to places that my soul and my flesh don't want to go. That I would go to places in him where that are unfathomable to me. I'm talking about mortification. I'm not talking about being glorified by men. I don't want to be glorified by men. I want to glorify the Son of God. To pray for me. If you remember me, pray for me. Those of you that come here, you know what I'm making reference to. Just pray for me. There's things that I have to do concerning food. You know what I mean, right? And not eating it, my friends. Not eating food. Maybe not eating it. There's a desire in my heart to just go lock away for a couple of weeks somewhere, just to stay in a hotel room. Just pray for me. I got to have more of him. I've got to have more. I've got to have more. And I will. Glory. Glory. What time is it? Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. Stand with me, please. Father, we bless you. Oh, we took up an offering, have we? Okay, can somebody bring the buckets up? I'm sorry. Go ahead and cut the tape, Mavis. Glory. Again, I want you guys to shake. It's Mr. Bilbothe to me. I want you to shake his hand because this man was so influential on me. Bow my knee to the Lamb of God. So introduce yourself to him and thank him, because I'm here today. He's part of the reason that I'm here preaching Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. So, Father, we thank you for this offering we're about to receive, Lord. You know our doctrine, Father God. There is no curse to those that do not give. For the law and the prophets were until John. Since then, the kingdom of heaven was preached. Lord, you never preached that there was a curse if we didn't give 10%. You never preached that. You said give with a cheerful heart. So I thank you for those that are going to sow seed. Father, we know that it's sown on good ground, Lord. I thank you so much for your mercy and for your grace and for your blood, Jesus. You are so worthy of all praise. And we thank you for it, Father. We look forward to coming back again Sunday morning and hearing our pastor. We thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, say hello to my friend, please. God bless you. We'll see you Sunday morning.